Welcome along, readers of Catholic Insight, to this initial podcast on this Friday afternoon, 5:41 p.m. here where I live. And wherever it is, where you are, I hope you're safe, sound, healthy, and hale. So just a few reflections today on the notion of this crisis and its connection with what we might call the virtue of magnanimity. I was pondering this walking today, insofar as it's still legal to walk around, and Aristotle in his Nicomachean Ethics proposes magnanimity, that is literally greatness of soul, as the greatest of the virtues. Great soul. And the opposite of magnanimity is pusillanimity. Pusillanimity is smallness of soul. Now we could take greatness of soul and smallness of soul in a very physical sense. What's causing this calamity unfolding before us is the tiniest of creatures, the virus. And I mentioned in one of my articles recently, the debate in biology is whether viruses are even alive. Aristotle said that all living things have an anima, that is a soul. Now we normally don't think of animals perhaps having souls, because when Catholics think of souls, they think of spiritual souls destined for eternal life, with God or without God. But all creatures who are living have a soul, an anima. That's why we call them animate creatures. And viruses, as the smallest of beings, have the smallest of souls, if they have souls at all. So remember, viruses are just little strands of DNA or RNA coated in a protein sheath. And their small soul, their only mission in life, is to reproduce themselves. And they use the host to reproduce, which in turn makes the host ill. And the illness can be on a spectrum from something very mild, a runny nose and a cough, all the way to the tragic effects of Ebola and the stories we hear about those gravely afflicted by the current virus before in this context. As we move up the scale of being, magnanimity, we get greater souls, so to speak, all the way up where the soul takes into account more and more things. So when we apply magnanimity to human beings, we can see magnanimity as the virtue by which a person can transcend their local or particular circumstances and see what we might call the bigger picture. So to see the bigger picture allows one to take a long game into account in any situation, to see how any given action, any given decision would affect a multitude of people, not just around you physically, but also transcending you in space and time on into the future and future generations. The pusillanimous man only thinks of himself or of more local conditions or circumstances, or he only takes into account one particular aspect of human life. And in the current context, of course, we're pondering biological life. What does it mean to live? And what is life all about? What does it mean to die? And what is death all about? The pusillanimous man would not think of death, would put it out of his mind as long as possible and try to avoid death. The magnanimous man would realize that death is part of life and that death must not only be tolerated, but in some circumstances faced with courage when death is inevitable. How do we apply magnanimity and pusillanimity to the situation before us? Well, as John Paul II puts it in Evangelium Vitae near the beginning of his 1995 encyclical on human life, our life in this world is only a penultimate value. And the ultimate value, the ultimate good, is life in the next world. As Leo XIII said so rightly in Orerum Novarum, it only in the next life that we will truly begin to live. Hence, an over-focus on this life leads to any number of deleterious consequences. Safety is one thing, biological safety is one thing, and security, certainly an aspect of life, but they're all subservient to the highest good, which is virtue, a life well-lived, and ultimately eternal life. And it's only in this context that things can make sense. and reposted my thoughts on JP2's letter on salvific suffering. It's only in the context of eternal life that suffering can make sense. Some suffering makes sense in the context of this life, but not in some suffering, only in the context of the next life, what we call useless suffering, at least from the perspective of this world alone, and that is a pusillanimous perspective, that is small soul, to shrivel one's soul, to limit one's soul to seeing only the horizons of life from birth until natural death, seeing this life not as a passageway, a pilgrimage, testing ground, if you will, for eternal life. So where does that put us in the here and now? Well, in terms of the church, if people can line up and mill around Costco, the argument is made, why can't they line up and go into churches? Why can't there be some further sacramental participation and not shutter and close the whole thing down? There's certainly a perspective to be seen in the larger picture on what it means to live and the access to grace, the sacraments, the voice of the church in the current crisis to lead us through what's being done. One could argue that the measures, even from a natural societal point of view, are overreach. We don't want to develop a police state or a Stasi snitch state. It's all about balance and perspective. And the balance and perspective must take into account the facts, insofar as facts are known, and not err on one side or the other, but certainly allow people to live and allow people to some degree to flourish. However long this is going to go on for, we must keep our liberties intact. And those liberties include not just our natural liberties, but obviously our sacramental and supernatural liberties to worship and practice in the way that will ultimately lead us to heaven. So, dear reader, please keep your wits about you. That's what I said in the end of one of my articles. But more fully, keep your soul about you. That is, see things not so much from the perspective of the body, of the here and now. After all, the deceit of the Antichrist in the Catechism is called a secular messianism, and that is a salvation in this age alone. And the secular messianism is a temptation even for the most good of people. It can be very tempting to sell our birthright for a bowl of pottage, and we must be aware that the bowls of pottage have their place, but what is more proper and right is that very birthright leading us to eternal life. So I'll leave you with those thoughts for now in this initial podcast, gather my thoughts together. I'm praying for you all. Let us pray for each other. And hopefully, well, God has his ways in all this. I will have further thoughts about appreciation and depreciation in the next podcast. God bless.